Or if you're watching one of the copies of it later today or some other time, the reality, and I say this very often, but the reality of it is we are gathered together in Christ. We can be in this building, and you can be in wherever, and view us on your computer or on your TV screen if you have it hooked up to that. But regardless of where you are physically, and we are, and you know, by location here, we are in Christ Jesus. And that's wonderful, because that's where the reality is, in His body, that body of Christ that is found around the world. And above that, it is found to be in Him. So we've been talking about the reality of being in Christ. And the life that we have with Christ. So I want to talk to you today. I was standing right here last night recording a monthly CD. In fact, a CD for April. And this is the very thing that I had in front of me. But the thing that was really on my heart last night, and I wrote it down right here, is what I wanted to just also talk with you about today, using everything that I have laying here. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And that has, in looking at, you know, that we've been looking for the type and shadow of our salvation in Christ, finding it in Israel as they were being delivered out of Egypt. And we've been talking about the baptism there in the Red Sea. And we've been comparing that to the very baptism that Paul presents to the believers in Romans 6. Romans 6, which I am about to read to you. So, if you're where you can and you have your Bible there, you can open your Bible to Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to read verse 1 through verse 14. Now, some of you that may have been with us, it may have been, yes, last Sunday, I think. It was Brother Bird, Raven Bird, was teaching right here, and he was dealing with Romans 6, and what I want to deal with here is probably one verse, but I've been talking to you about Romans 6 in view of, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Why? Because that's exactly what we see at the Red Sea, that baptism. And it's talked about, obviously, as being that baptized unto Moses and under the cloud and so forth. But it's there in the Red Sea, and it has to do with our baptism. And we've been talking about baptism because we asked a question months ago, both on the monthly CD and then in some of the sessions that I have here, is how do we come to be in Christ? I mean, 230 some odd times we read in Christ, any man be in Christ. He is a new creation. My God, have you ever stopped and thought about that verse? And then get up and go look at yourself in the mirror. Because, see, it's not talking about some kind of an outward condition or an outward change or a physical difference at all, but your heart and your soul, because it's an eternal thing. And this body that I've got is not eternal, honey, and there are those that will try to argue with me about that, or used to. It's not eternal. It's a clay pot. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You want to find the excellency of the power, you find it in Jesus Christ, because He is that very indwelling Spirit of life. So all of that is true. But if you're looking for a new creation, you don't look for it in the flesh. Paul says right there just before, he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Just before he says that, the sentence, the very sentence says, therefore know we no man after the flesh. Though we once knew Christ after the flesh, know we him no more. My Lord. And that's true. Jesus told his disciples, you now know me after the flesh, but when I go to my Father and come again, you will not know me after the flesh, for I will be in you. And that's our salvation. That's the truth. I don't know. You can read it right here, you know, and then Paul comes along and comes right back and says the same thing, confirms the reality in his heart that he has come to see. All that Christ said, Paul has come to see that fulfilled in Christ. And he has come to see by the Spirit of God that very Christ that stood there and talked to Peter and James and John now lived in Paul, the very same Son of God, the very same Christ. And it's that Christ that Paul preached. And he actually preached that Christ in a greater volume of more than any other apostle did, though those apostles were there with Christ when he was in the flesh. Well, all right. How are we in him? By baptism. Is that being baptized into water? No, honey, I'll baptize you in water or anywhere else. But it's not about water, it's about the Spirit of God. It does you little good to get baptized in water. I don't care how much water. I don't care whether you get stuck out of sight or whether you're sprinkled, or I don't really care concerning that. And I've baptized people. I've baptized people in India in a river standing under a waterfall. That's well and good. And that can be, and most of the time is, a very outward and forward statement. But so many people, even in their water baptism, do not understand that the water baptism, as shown by John, even when he baptized Christ in Jordan, that water baptism is about you and your relationship with Christ through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Now, I don't know how you get that out of sprinkling a little water on your head, but if you're being totally submerged and then you're put all the way down under the water and then you're lifted back up, then it's the same thing that John is doing. And there you can see, but what are you seeing? You're seeing a type or a testimony of a reality. The question is, have you come to the reality? And if you are born again, then you have. And, you know, if you have received Christ, then you have. But my friend, You can't substitute the testimony for a reality for the reality itself. This baptism we've been talking about and now are talking about is spirit baptism. Same baptism that Paul says in, what is it, 1 Corinthians 12, where he's talking so much about that. Yes, it is. And he says, for by one Spirit, not by one preacher, not by one man, not in one building, no, by one Spirit. And also, now you listen to me, because some of you, you know, somebody is going to be arguing with me, whether it's any of you precious folks or not. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yes, at least that many, and you'll find with regard to our vocation, knowing, understanding our vocation, our calling, knowing our calling, walking worthy unto our calling. It's right there. And then what does he say? Here's why. For there is one Spirit, one body, one baptism, one expectation. Well, and he goes right on down the line. One body, one faith, one calling, one baptism. And then he ends by saying, and one God and Father of all, who is in all. Yes, he is in all through his Son. For it is Christ whom he hath made head of his body, the church, which is the fullness of him who filleth all in all. Well, all of this has to do with our salvation in Christ, and we are there by baptism. And it's set forth in Israel as they were coming out of Egypt. That is where their salvation was made manifest. And that's what it is with our baptism. It was made manifest. What God had done with the blood on the door was made manifest by that baptism into the Red Sea. Now, let me read to you, because I'll be saying things that refer back to Romans 6. This is not necessarily a teaching in Romans 6, but with reference to Romans 6, primarily with reference to this baptism. Romans 6, verse 1, and we'll go through verse 14. Now, in our monthly CDs, not this month, which would be April, but the one for May, the next one, and I'm really seeking the Lord that on that next one I can simply do one chapter in the Bible, and that would be 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I look forward to doing it. But honey, if you're going to do anything with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it would really behoove you, really, if you had memorized Romans chapter 6. And you could carry that on into 7 and 8 as well, but primarily Romans chapter 6. And then, having understanding there, looking, because what are we doing in chapter 6? We're looking at baptism. Well, yeah, we are, but we're looking at resurrection here too. And look at what it says. Look at what it says. Do you know what it says? Now, come on, believer, wherever you are right now, wherever you're watching this, wherever it is, do you know what Romans 6 says concerning resurrection? And I'm not trying to upset you. I'm just asking, do you, so you can think about it. Do you know? Well, that's what we're going to look at. That's the reason I'm just reading these first verses on the resurrection and the life. I mean, just stands up in these verses and cries out. I mean, it's like the Lord Jesus standing up again in the face of Mary and Martha and saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Period. Exclamation mark. That's it. I am. And you'll find it there. And then you bring that over in the 1 Corinthians 15. And that's what we'll do later. Let's read this. Chapter 6, verse 1. He'd been talking about grace and the reign of grace. Grace reigning in life of one, that being Christ, and the grace of God. But then he comes, what shall we say then? Because these people were having, they were having a lot of problems. They were having problems, and they were trying to find, be like some, trying to be better Christians and trying to, you know, tell us how we can be more like Jesus and this kind of stuff. If we sin more, then we'll have more grace from God. And all kind of questions are there. Paul answers them this way: what shall we say then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Here it comes. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It is true, and most scholars will agree with me on this, or the commentators. It is true. How shall we that are dead to sin? We are dead to sin. But honey, don't forget this. That's not just some kind of a debt. We're dead to sin because we are dead, period, with Christ. That the cross is an awesome thing, hon. And it gathers up sin into it, but it's not just about sin. That soul that Christ gathered up into himself at the cross and at that death, and he brought the very heartbeat, the very soul of humanity, the very soul of the Adamic creation, my soul, yours. He brought that in himself. In himself. And he brought that soul to death. For if you, the day that you eat that, thou shalt surely die. That was the promise he was fulfilling. Well, dead to sin, that's true. But dead to sin because you're dead, period. And there's just a lot of folks who won't get a hold of that. Well, brother, yes, I'm dead to sin, but I'm having a little problem over here. And I'm thinking, well, I won't go through what I'm thinking. I used to. I'll say that once we're not on internet and not on, internet TV. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? Oh, that's a collective thing. If you're dead, you're dead to sin. Live any longer therein. And there are scholars that admit that what is actually being said here is the same that we that are dead, how shall we that are dead? And it just takes in the whole area, live any longer therein. Know ye not. Know ye not. That's so many of us. Well, how many is that? That's all of us. That's all of us. Look at it. In these other lessons here, I talk about the many, how it was that the many went in to that baptism and still do. The many go in. The baptism is for the many. But only one comes out. To really see that in its testimony and the type and shadow of it, then we'll look at the Red Sea baptism. Then we'll carry that on a little farther into the Jordan baptism. And we'll see a strong type and a strong testimony there of only one coming out. But then we come to John's baptism, and types and shadows are gone. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself shows up. And He goes down into the Jordan, and He goes there. He goes there, actually, He goes there by John. John, who is the end of all of the prophets, who is the summation of all of the prophets, the greatest among the prophets. That summation, he sums it all up in Christ, and he goes under. He comes up out of the water, and the heavens open, and God fulfills the whole testimony given to Israel about this one. God fulfills it right there. This is wonderful. It's my Lord God, we need to just read it and then. It's wonderful. You can just put yourself there. Baptized. Come up out of the water. And immediately heaven was opened. There was the descending, you know, of that dove. But the very Spirit of God came upon him. Heaven was opened and a voice was heard that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Translation, this is my Son, in whom alone I am well pleased. No, he looks no place else to find his pleasure except in his Son. That's why you and I are accepted in that Son who lives in us. Many are baptized into his death. Why? Because when he died for all. And those that receive him, then coming and being by the Spirit of God baptized into that reality. It's all an inward thing, hon. Your very soul is baptized into that reality. In other words, you see in your soul, you come to understand. It becomes a thing that you experience, that what is happening to you now is exactly what happened when Christ went to that cross. That He took you there then. He took me there then. He took every one of humanity there. Whether they had been born or not born, or whether they're yet to be born, He gathered all of humanity into Himself at the cross. You can't even imagine. We could look at all of the we could look at all kind of atom bombs go off in one place, and I don't know what it would do to that one place, hon, but we could look at that and still not imagine the effect. The effect of the Spirit of God working in our soul. The death, the burial, that only one could do. Only one could do. There were millions of animals slain just pointing to that one. Of all kind of animals, all kind. That one gathered all of that type, all of that blood. My Lord, it soaked the ground. Hey, come on, darling. When Solomon gave all those offerings, there were thousands of 10,000s of them. I don't know. It looked to me like they'd been swimming around in blood. A lot of that. Christ took it all to the cross. And it wasn't a little simple thing with Him. Oh no, Father, the time has come, and now is my soul troubled within me. Father, what shall I say? I'm in Romans 12, John 12. Save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify Thy name. What a reality, hon. That reality is the only reason, wherever you are right now, it's the only reason that Christ is your life. It's the only reason that you're in Christ, or that Christ is in you. What I've just said, what happened at the cross, one whole creation done away in the sight of God. Why? Because the Father is going to bring forth by His resurrected Son, that Spirit of resurrection and life, the Father is going to bring forth a totally different creation. A new man. Yes, new in every way. And we join together as one body of that new man. That's the body that is in the resurrection. That body. In 1 Corinthians 15, if you know how to read and know any, that becomes very obvious too. It's not talking about a bunch of bodies. It's talking about one body. Whose body? Who died? Christ did. Then it's His body that He raises up. His body. And I'm talking about the body that you are, the body that we are part of, that body. That body gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. And I hope we understand that. I hope you folks get a hold of that and just begin to listen to it and understand it and that you are his body. Because every time we say, and that's right, his, give him to be head over all things to the church, but then right there, which is, not church which is building on a corner, not church which is, it's the white one down the road that's got the steeple. No, the church which is his body. So we need to get a hold of that. Because even precious Christians that I know, and I know a lot of them, and I'm glad that I do, but too many of them still have the idea that, well, we gather in the church when we're in the church building. No, hon, we gather in the church when we are gathered by the Spirit of God in Christ. We're already gathered in him. Wherever we may be on the face of the earth, our gathering is in him. If we could get a hold of that, then we would never suffer in our hearts and minds separation from one another because we're in him. Wherever else we may be physically, we're there in him. What a glorious reality that is. And if you could just walk in it, hon, then this word that I've been talking about and started with, fear not, wouldn't have nearly the effect upon you if you would come to that realization of always being in Christ, and Christ never not being in you. No wonder the Lord told his disciples in that day, and it's the day of Pentecost and the day of the coming of Christ in spirit, in truth, on the day of Pentecost, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father. Now that's not a hard thing for us to, for even the natural mind to, you know, accept, because we accept all that, you know, so much of that stuff. I am in my Father. Well, okay, you know, he's in his Father. All right. Now, he said that while standing there talking to him. It's recorded in John 14. And he was, when he was telling them, I go to prepare a place for you. Then he goes on and says, in that day that I come and receive you unto myself. It's all about his Spirit coming. I will come in spirit, in newness. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father. But look at the rest of the verse, hon. See what kind of a union this is about. I am in my Father. I'm in my Father's house. I'm in his house. You know, all of that. That could just be said because, yeah, see, he's not only the door, he's the key to the door. And he is the substance into which we are brought through the door. Our salvation, hon, while it is in the fullest definition of the word full, complete, our salvation is Christ. No doubt about that. But our salvation is not just about Christ. It is about our union with him in everything that he is. Because if he is in you right now by his Spirit, everything that he is in you. Is he life eternal? He is life eternal in you. Is he King of Kings? He is King of Kings in you. Whatever he is that in you. Is he the only begotten Son of God? Yes. And he's that in you. See, hon, he doesn't change. He doesn't change when he comes to be in me or in you. He doesn't change who he is. Because the real ongoing growth of our salvation is not him becoming more than he is or becoming something other than he is. No, our real growing is not about him becoming something more. It's about you and I seeing his greatness. Not you and I seeing what he will be or who he will be one day. Our growing up, our growing in the knowledge of him is seeing him as he is right now. Seeing who he is. Not what he's going to do, what he's done. Not what the Father is yet going to do in Christ. No, what the Father has done in Christ. And the Son has said, Father, I have finished it. Our growing up is to grow up in the comprehension of the one who lives in us in his fullness, sweetheart. And the more we do that, the more we see him. An appearing of him, not a picture of him, not a vision, an appearing of him in my heart, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. But it is in the scriptures called an appearing, a revealing, a manifestation within your heart and soul, an opening of the eyes of your understanding that you may see the one who is actually dwelling in you by his Spirit, that you may see him. So it's an appearing. And when there is those appearings, is when you will hear, more than any other time, you will hear that voice within you, be not afraid. Be not afraid. And so that's what we're looking at here with regard to this baptism of Israel when they stopped there and there was this one thing said to them, and I'll read just in a moment. And God told Moses, tell them, be not afraid. Stand still and see. What? The salvation of the Lord. The salvation of the Lord. Now they saw a lot of things. They saw water and then they saw the cleft in those waters, and then they saw Egyptians dead. They saw all of that. But the salvation they saw was made manifest not to Egypt, but to Israel. That was in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. That's what separated them from their enemy, who was coming right behind them and was upon them. That wall, on the side where Egypt was coming, it was gross darkness. Think about that. On the other side, it might as well have been daytime. And I suppose was. but it was total light. And then the sea opened, and then they went into it. And there's all kind of types and shadows here of spiritual reality. But they're all fulfilled in Christ. Who is the fulfillment of the pillar of cloud, of the fire? And then at night, the cloud. Who sums that up in himself? Well, Christ does. He is the glory of God. He is the glory of God. And he is the very fire. The very fire of God. He is the very consuming word of God. There is nothing of our salvation that he is not. It's just that he is so much of our salvation that so many of us do not know. And we spend time asking the Lord for that very thing, that if we really come to know him and understand who he is, we'd realize that we have that thing. That we have that thing. That thing, as it were, that one lives in me. You want to talk about joy, honey? That's joy. All right, I was reading in Romans 6. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore you are buried with him by baptism unto death. Now hang on to that and realize this. Hang on to what's said right there. You're baptized into his death, right? We're baptized into his death. And then all of a sudden, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death. My goodness. This death has a burial to it. Yes. Buried with him by baptism unto death. That, and then here it comes. Here's the resurrection. That, like as Christ. Look at the terms here. Just look at the terms. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, buried by baptism unto death, that like as Christ, not like as Peter, James, John, not like as Moses, not that like as Christ was raised up. And in a more original text, that would read, like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead. And the King James just says, raised up from the dead. But the other, the more complete rendition is, he was raised up out from among the dead. And it leaves in your mind such a complete separation between him and the dead. But then the dead that will call upon him, the dead, he says in another place in John, the dead who hear my voice and who hear him in their heart, the dead who hear my voice shall live. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what is being said here, really. Therefore, buried with him, that like as Christ. So who is our life going to be here? Like as Christ. Like as Christ. It does not say, and I want you to notice that, it does not say that like as J.W. Luman was raised up. It doesn't say that. That like as Christ was raised up, we need to just be in our heart and soul, if we've received Him, then we need to be having a shouting fest. Please get a hold of this. And I realize it's, well, I don't realize because I didn't set this, but whatever time it is, get a hold of this. Resurrection is the one who lives in you, and you live by Him. So I say for the 125th time, resurrection is not me living again. Resurrection is Christ, the only life God recognizes, the only life that is eternal life. Christ, the only life that has conquered death, hell, and Satan. The only life that shall never die again. Death hath no more dominion over Him. Not just over His life. He is the life. His life is Him. He's the life. You understand that? Christ is not, you know, He's not giving life out to us. Grab it and run. No, no. He, by His Spirit, lives in you. Lives in you. Or you have no life. Period. It is breathing like the horses out there in the pasture are standing there breathing. Christ is so much more than just the automations of a functioning body. He is the living Spirit living in our soul. Darling, while yes, that comes by way of new birth, that is the resurrection and the life. That like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead by the glory. Yeah. Even so we also should walk in newness of life. The newness of life that is spoken of here can only be fulfilled in the one who maketh all things new, and the one who Himself is the one new creation of God. He is the new life. New in all of its ways, not new in years or stuff like that. No. No, new. New as to its nature, as to its character, as to its substance. So rich and so new that, as I've already said, it's not something that He can give us aside from Himself. No, no, darling. It's He Himself. Jesus, my Lord. It's He Himself living in me and in you. New birth is not a is not a religious ceremony. True baptism isn't either. But new birth is not. It's a work of the Spirit. Our new birth is a work of the Spirit. Our baptism is a work of the Spirit, the fullness of which is Christ Himself. Blessed be the Lord. Well, We're not going a lot further than this, so let me finish these verses, because you need to spend some time looking at what is here. Should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness, this is important, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Well, there's a problem here in verse 5 in the King James. And I'll use King James, but then, all right. In the likeness of his resurrection, the term in the likeness was added and is not found in the original text nor in any of the earlier texts. So in the likeness, if you're holding a King James Version right now, then that term in the likeness will be in your Bible in italics. They do that when it's been added. It's not in the original. Now, there is a place where in the likeness of his death was. Because you see, and here's the reason. So I want you to listen to me. Here's the reason. Let's look at this verse. There's always a reason there's always a reason why it's written like it's written. And why it's said. For if we have been planted together, that is you and I, planted as one body, planted together with Christ in the likeness of his death. Okay, all right now. See, that can be said in the likeness. That can be said because he himself hath brought us into that likeness of his death. When he died, hon, we died. Whether you ever receive him or not, the work that he did on the cross is signed, sealed, delivered, it's done. How have we received him? So Paul uses this term, and I want you to look at it. For if we have been planted together, if that is true, he's saying, then you need to know this. Then you need to understand this. If this is so, we need to come to comprehend this. We need to come to the truth. That's the truth of here. We need the Spirit of God to work this reality in our very soul. So, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, that which he gathered to the very likeness of his death, same death. We shall be also, and then that term wouldn't fit here, because he brought us into that death. And if we've been planted in the likeness of that death, we shall be also of his resurrection. Actually, you can use the term here, we shall be also of the resurrection. Also of resurrection. In every case, in looking at it here, we're not some likeness to his resurrection. It's not a likeness. our life. Everything is here. One, it is the burial. And it is in the likeness of his death. But here, it is his, we shall be of resurrection. Our being. See, there's this is an automatic. See? And it's him. He's the seed that's planted. He's the seed. If we're going to talk about the seed and the seed bringing forth much fruit, because he brings that forth in that he brings many sons, all of which are born of an incorruptible seed. So it's all coming down to the one son. But what we're talking about here is the baptism, and it's talking about, yes, many go down, but only one comes up. He's the resurrection, and he's the one that lives in those that will receive him, making them not a resurrected old, but a new creation that has never, ever lived before. Never. For we are his workmanship, created of God in Christ. There's another place where it says the same thing. You know, hon, the life that my soul has, the life that I have, I've never had before. Before I was born again from above. The thing I regret most about that and about that happening to me at a very young age was no one set me down and even tried to tell me or explain to me, now Jesus dwells in you. Now they'd talk to me about, now he has washed away all your sins. He's made you clean. He's forgive your sins. And if you'll do this and you do that and be this way, then one day you'll go to hell. I've had all of that from precious, well-meaning people. And then I got the same thing from Bible college lecturers. Yeah, every day in class. And nobody, when I was born again in that Pentecostal church, big group of people, and the years that I was raised there, and then the Bible college that I attended and went through, no one ever told me what, no more than what I'm sitting right here telling you, telling all of us, sitting right here in this hour. And I lived in years I wasn't told that. I mean years. I can't tell you how many Sunday school teachers I went through and growing up, or how many pastors or all of that, but I was there. And I never heard this concerning Christ, the resurrection, Christ living in you. I was just told if I'd be really good and even if I died, that the Lord would come and my body would come up. And it went through all of that and you will go to heaven. And I'm sitting around as a little kid trying to figure out what good does that do me today. I mean, where is all of that? It's in Christ. and Christ was in me, and nobody told me. Nobody. They talked to me about sins enough, all right, and about how many things I need to do and how many times I need to read my Bible, and oh yeah, all of that was there. But not one person said, Christ is in you. I mean, it meant it and understood it, what they were saying, not just saying, well, you know, Jesus loves you and he just have him in your heart. It's almost like believing a rhyme of some kind and have it in my heart and just believe it and it'll be true. No, hon, no, you need to come to the truth and then believe. Because that's the right order. So that's enough preaching on that, but we need to know something here. This salvation that we're talking about, we cannot just make a theology out of it, put it in four or five Bible lessons and say, there, now read that, learn that. No, honey, we've come to a living reality. And as we continue on, whether in this or not, as we continue on, we come to this right here, and that our baptism is a work of the Spirit, and the work of the Spirit is to take that which is Christ and show it unto us. Well, blessed be the Lamb of God. One more verse in Romans 6. This is the one I was after. It's one that really stood out to me the other last Sunday when Rabin was reading this very same thing and dealing with, because he's, you know, been going through the whole book of Romans, and there's a lot there. It's all Christ. But here's what I wanted. What I'm doing is just showing baptism part of it, because that's where I am in this other study. And you can't find a better place than Romans 6 for that baptism. But here's the thing. Verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe. Now, I can't go into this. I'm just going to read it to you, because here it's, you need to look at every one of these things, because it's talking about a reality of our union with Christ. It's not just talking about some kind of theology about the cross. No, it's about a union that he always is. And, you know, is he always dead to sin? Yes. Was he ever dead in sin? No. Will he ever die again? No. Does death have any dominion over him? No, he does not. He is life and life evermore. And he has the keys to death and hell and the whole shebang. But is he dead to sin in the way that sin has no approach to him? Yes, he is. Well, now think about that, because he's in you. And is he that liveth, who liveth unto God, is he in you? Yes, he is. And that's one of the reasons I would say, therefore, fear not. You need not fear death. You need not fear hell, torment. Why? Because the one who brought all of that into his death and left it there now lives in you. For he is the resurrection. He is the firstborn out from among the dead. He is the resurrection and the life, and he lives in you. And that's why he can say, and that's why in the verses here it is said, fear not. Fear not. And it's the Lord saying, fear not. I am in you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Because see, I'm not walking along beside of you. I live in you. You are my body. And here's the verse. Verse 13. Yes. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Here's the phrase right here. As those that are alive from up out from among the dead. Think about that. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And we're not going there. I just have written down verse 1 through actually verse 14. But it was this phrase right here, this phrase that stood out to me. Not only, and I wrote down something here somewhere about it. Yes, not only dead with Christ through baptism, but alive by Christ, the resurrection and the life, living in me and in you. In the reality that not I, but Christ liveth in me. That mystery which is Christ in you, revealed by the very Spirit of the Father. The one in whom we may present, that is, may declare, may preach every believer who is in him to be perfect. That is, to be full and complete as to their salvation. Christ has finished the work. He has entered into his rest. We are at rest in him concerning our full salvation. And that's the thing, see, hon. And it's right here. Don't overlook this now. Don't overlook this. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it's this verse 13 that says, as those that are alive from the dead. As those that are alive from the dead. And up here, that we are dead with him. So you see, it's not just that we are dead to sin, but that being so, being dead to sin, that we also live as those who are alive out from the dead. That meaning that we live by the resurrection himself. Now, hon, this is so because it is so with Christ. Romans 6, verse 8 through verse 10. This is what makes it all so.
right here. This is what makes it all so. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live with Him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead. Now, this is the only thing, hon. This is something you can get a hold of. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death of any kind. Of any kind. Because there's people still running around saying, well, brother, you know, the last enemy is going to be death. Honey, that's already come and gone. That's already, for in Him, for in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise reckon. It's not upon me, it's not upon you, it's not upon ourselves that we reckon. We reckon concerning our salvation, concerning our union with the Father. We reckon upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is. Because He is in you. And you, I mean, the Father's answer was that you be in His Son. Before the world was, before Adam was created, God ordained it so. Now, He didn't ordain who was going to come to Christ or not, but His ordination was and His decision was, you come to Christ, you'll be in Him. I will receive you in My Son. In Christ Jesus. And the life of that is that He is in you and me. So we're going to reckon, upon our knowing Him. And that goes all the way down through here. Knowing this, our old man, knowing Christ. And then right on down the line, knowing. Then when Paul comes along, knowing that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know, that you may understand. Yes, and it is such a tremendous thing that it has to be done only by the Spirit of God. Honey, I could teach for 567 years and 15 seconds. It don't make any difference. I could never teach this into you or anybody else, and I can't teach it into myself. It's the Spirit of God. It is the awesome, eternal, Holy Spirit of God that brings us in to that seeing. And yes, what an explosion. What a greatness. What a transformation takes place in our soul. Thank you much, folks. The Lord bless you. And we're dismissed. I guess this is the last. We'll.